In Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, Paul's giving specific areas for the Ephesians to put off the old, put on the new, and be renewed in their minds. We saw that in verses 22 to 24. And then we've looked at some specific areas. Verse 25, we saw the put off lying and put on the truth. In verses 26 and 27, we saw to put off sinful anger, put on righteous anger. And now this morning, as we continue in verse 28, we're going to see the need to put off stealing and put on laboring. Again, this may seem obvious, just like lying seemed obvious. Christians shouldn't lie. Yet, as we look around culture, do we not see, just as seems more and more Christians are adopting that certain lies are okay, we're seeing that certain theft seems to be okay. And we'll look at some of those details, Lord willing, as we go through the message this morning. So if you're physically able, if you would please stand with me as we read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, the Word of God says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So three simple points I want us to see in this message that I've entitled Working with Your Hands. Working with your hands. And the three points are this. First of all, steal no more. That's simple. Steal no more. Secondly, start working. And then thirdly, share with those in need. Well, that's a whole message in and of itself. the whole our society truly needs to hear, isn't it? Steal no more, start working, and share with those in need. So let's ask the Lord for his guidance, please. Father, again, thank you for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for each one gathered here. And Lord, now I pray that you'd remove distractions and speak to us through your word. And Lord, I can do nothing without Christ. So I pray for your strength. And Father, that you'd speak to us, you'd challenge us. And if there's one here today that does not know Christ as Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. And we'll pray and thank you for all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Simply, Paul says, let him that stole steal no more. We're obviously commanded not to steal. Exodus 20, verse 15, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Now, here in this verse, remember we've been looking at several imperatives Paul's giving. When he says steal no more, that's another imperative, another command. Don't do it. You say, well, why would Paul have to give them this command? Well, from my understanding, the Ephesian culture, that several things were happening. First of all, free men were allowed to steal and it was okay. You see, they kind of had this privileged mentality. I'm a free Roman, so if I steal from somebody who's not, that's okay. But do we not see this privileged mentality today still prevalent? Well, here's another one that seemed to be prevalent at the time. Stealing from the rich and giving to the poor is okay. Matter of fact, some said even some of the rabbis at the time were buying into that, saying, well, as long as you're giving a portion of it to the poor, you didn't have to give all of it to the poor. You could steal it, keep some for yourself, give a portion of it to the poor, and that made it okay. We see this today, don't we? We see it being promoted in government for sure. But the Bible commands us not to steal. You say, well, that's obvious, preacher. But let's look at some ways that subtly are starting to creep in, and ways that people steal and maybe don't even think about stealing. And I mentioned government. Let's look at that first. Stealing from government. You say, how can I steal from the government? Well, the government certainly takes plenty from us. I understand, called taxes, right? But there are those who abuse the system. There are those who live generationally on welfare instead of getting a job. That, my friend, is stealing. Now, I don't have a problem if somebody has a disability. We are commanded to take care of them. I don't have a problem with that. That's what it's there for. Or sometimes people come in really hard times to no circumstance of their own and need temporary help. But to live generationally on a system is stealing. And then there's those who want to cheat on their taxes, since we're going into tax season. Some of you might know a preacher who used to preach about creation and talking about those type of things. He used to do a lot of seminars on it. To my knowledge, he's still in jail today because he didn't think he had to pay taxes. which is foolish. Because did not Jesus say, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and then render the things that are God's unto God? Okay, do I like how much tax the government wants to take from me? No. However, I still need to pay it. And trying to cheat on my taxes, now I'm not saying trying to find every deduction you can, okay? If they're going to give it to you, take it, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that cheat on their taxes of stealing. But that's one area that some Christians seem to think is okay. Here's another one. This is a big one. Stealing from our employer. Now, depending on where you work, I know when I worked at Walmart, we were given two 15-minute breaks that you didn't have to clock out for, and then you had an hour lunch that you did have to clock out for. Why anybody needs an hour to eat lunch, I'm not certain, but whatever. That's what they gave us, okay? But, you know, the 15-minute breaks often for some people turn into 25, 28 minutes, half hour. Taking a longer break than you were allotted is stealing from your employer. If your employer says, I'm going to give you 15 minutes, and you don't even have to clock out during that 15 minutes, and you take longer than 15 minutes, you are stealing your employer's time. Well, you don't know how hard I work. Then tell them how hard you're working and ask for a longer break. I know when I was working in Garden Center and was outside in the heat and sun and everything else, the manager came out and said, look, I know we give you 15-minute breaks, but I want you to stop every so often and get a drink of water. He said, because I don't need you all passing out here. He gave us permission to take more breaks, okay? Well, for some, that meant that was a last thing he ever told me. So even though it's 30 degrees, you know, outside or whatever, you know, it's much cooler than those hot days, I still get to take all those extra breaks because he told me way back when, right? No, that's not what he meant. It's stealing, we know it is. Or another one, here comes the boss, look busy. Shouldn't we be busy even when the boss isn't around? Because God is still watching. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, servants, be obedient to them, to your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever you do, or whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. See, I should be working no matter if the boss is watching or not, because if I'm working for Christ, Christ is always watching. Another one, and churches have gotten in trouble for this one, is stealing copyrights. This music my wife has over here, and these books, I cannot take this book and just say, hey, we want to sing this song. Of course, this is not words, but it's a piano piece, but you get the point. And say, so I'm going to make 50 copies of this and just distribute it, and we're all going to sing this song. You know why? This is copyrighted. And if I want to sing, have a choir sing, we got to buy 50 copies of it. You say, well, that's unfair. Well, let me ask you a question. If you were a musician and you wrote the music and you spent all that time writing it, would it be fair to you for me to just take one copy and distribute it to 50 people? That's why there's copyrights. There's also copyrights on software, but some people think it's okay to pirate software. You say, come on, preacher. Well, it's stealing. Is stealing stealing or not? And is that not what the law says? I mean, every video you start says piracy is not a victimless crime. Or here's another one. Well, the end kind of justifies the means. I mean, if you're going to steal from the rich to give to the poor, that kind of makes sense because the rich can afford it and the poor can't. So, you know, it's really depending on how you do it. So is stealing right or under certain circumstances or no? No, it's still wrong. Well, you know, if I steal this from my employer, I mean, after all, he has the extra money. And, you know, besides that, all these big corporations are corrupt anyhow, so it really doesn't matter. Really? It does. But I think here's the most important one that sometimes we're guilty of, and that's stealing from God. See, how do we do that? Three things that I can give God, my time, talents, and treasures. And when I'm not doing as Ephesians 5:16 commands me, redeeming the time because the days are evil, I'm stealing from God because He's given me the time, He's given me my life, and I need to redeem the time. That doesn't mean there's not time for recreation. It doesn't mean there's not time for vacation. And it doesn't mean there's not time for taking some time off. But I need to be diligent and I need to be faithful, using my time wisely because it is a gift from God. Secondly, my talents. The talents I have are given by God. Remember the one who hid his talent? He was punished for it. Why? Because he didn't use it that God had given him. The talents that God has given you, if you're hiding your talents and you're not using them and you're fearful to use them, is stealing from God because it's God Almighty who gave you the talents. And then the third one is our treasures. You know, we pass the plates to take the tithes and the offering. The tithe, the 10%, belongs to God. And the offering above that, whatever He lays in your heart. God told Israel, Malachi 3:8, Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God answers, in tithes and offerings. God says, if you're not giving the way you're supposed to, He considers it robbery. So Paul tells us, let him that stole steal no more. Put it off completely. Change the way you think about stealing, because all stealing is wrong. And then he continues on. Steal no more. Then secondly, start working. Paul says, but rather. You see, it's a sharp contrast. But rather. It's not just do less of it, but rather. Put that completely off and put on laboring. As we grow in the Lord, there ought to be a sharp contrast between us and the world. Our work ethic should reflect our relationship with the Lord. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. By the way, let me say this. If I work to please the Lord, don't you think my employer will be happy with the work I do? Looking out here, I can see one in this room that may be able to say no, but most of us are, Mike, okay? We'll be happy with if you do your work for the Lord, we'll be happy. Don't worry about those that say no, they'll know. We don't like what you're doing, Mike. But start working. We need to labor. Again, as Paul says here, let him labor. That again is an imperative. Get to work. We're commanded to work. We need to do our best at the work we do. Ecclesiastes 9:10, Solomon says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. Let's not be the mediocre worker that just does enough to get by, but let's be the one that shines and does it right every time. You know, God created man to work. In Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. God created Adam, and he puts him in the garden and says, Adam, I need you to dress and keep this garden. That involves work. And this is before the curse, before the fall of man, right? Before sin entered the world. And God had said everything that he created was very good. That means work is very good. Work is good for us. It'd be nice if half of our society figured that one out, wouldn't it? Work is good for you. Oh, but it hurts. Yeah, well, it's part of strengthening your muscles. What is it Marines always said? That which does not kill you will only make you stronger. Something like that. Matter of fact, God tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 that if one doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, if we applied that, I bet we'd have a lot less unemployment than what we do, wouldn't we? If you're not going to work, you don't need to eat. Now, as I said, there are certain times and certain situations that people go through that they're not able to work. I understand those, and we have a responsibility to take care of those, but we're talking the normal, healthy individual needs to get to work. And if you're not going to work, well, I guess you'll get hungry. And if you'll get hungry enough, I bet you go find a job. But Paul continues here, he says, let him stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. In other words, do a good work, or an upright and honorable work, When Jesus was on earth, what was his trade? He was a carpenter. That's an honorable job, isn't it? Paul was a tent maker by trade. That's an honorable job. You know, but yet we tend to look down on the jobs of working with your hands. My grandfather was an electrician. He taught my dad, he taught my brother, he taught me, and I'm glad he did. And it's an honorable work. However, on the other hand, a bartender, a distiller, etc., or one who's involved in the distribution or making or sale of alcohol would have a hard time saying that's an honorable work. For we know alcohol destroys homes, destroys families. And you know what's interesting? I want you to think about this. Hold your finger here in Ephesians chapter 4 and go with me to Acts 19 for just a moment. Acts 19. This is when Paul was there at Ephesus. And going back to verse 17, Acts 19, verse 17, and this was known in all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus, and all fear and fear fell on them all, and the name of Jesus was magnified. Go down to verse 19. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Listen, when these folks got saved, they understood, hey, this bad work that I'm doing, dealing with witchcraft and dealing with curious arts and all this stuff is bad and it's not good and I'm going to get rid of it. But instead of saying, hey, let's have a yard sale and sell it to my friends so they can be destroyed by it, they said, we're going to burn it. And when they counted up the money, it says 50,000 pieces of silver. So I was curious, how much is 50,000 pieces of silver in 2018, 2019? I didn't find 2019's prices, but I found the 2018 prices is about $1 million. But here's what I find sometimes. Christian gets saved and they say, you know what, I need to get rid of this trash out of my house, but man, I put so much money into it. And instead of saying, you know what, I'm just going to throw it in a dumpster and get rid of it, they find a way to try to justify selling it to somebody else as if it's going to be helpful to them. If it was bad for you, why would it be good for somebody else, right? That's my point. Sometimes we got to make hard decisions, Christians. But they shouldn't be hard. If our desire is to follow Christ, you know, these people didn't care about what they lost. They were concerned about, I want to have an occupation that's pleasing to God, a life that's pleasing to God, a good occupation. Going back to our passage in Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. So Paul tells us, steal no more, start working. And then adds this on the end here in verse 28. That he may have to give to him that needeth. What is your goal for working? Albert Barnes says this. He says, the main business of a Christian is not to make money and to become rich. It is that he may have the means of benefiting others. In other words, our goal for working should not be self-gratification. Now, we are to provide for ourselves. Yes, we are to provide for our family. As a matter of fact, that's told to us in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? If you're able to work and you don't provide for your family, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. That's pretty strong language. But we should also work to provide for the needs of others. Luke 3:11, he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. In other words, we need to look at the needs of others. You see, God doesn't provide for you just to hoard it and keep it for yourself. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, making sure your family's taken care of. That's not what I'm talking about at all. As a matter of fact, you have a responsibility to. But to hoard it for no purpose is not what God intended. But God wants us to be a conduit, to be a blessing to others. Paul says in Acts 20, verse 35, I showed you all things, how so laboring we ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And may I say, it is much more fun to give than receive. So are we sharing with those in need? To give to him that needeth, to distribute to those that need. You see, it's the responsibility of individual Christians and churches to provide for the needs of others. And may I say, I mentioned earlier about the abuse of the welfare system. If we were doing our responsibility of taking care of family, taking care of those in need as individuals, as a church, we could put the welfare system out of business, the proper usage of it anyhow. Because you understand it was truly never government's responsibility. It was never given to the government. It was given to individuals. It was given to the church. Let me read you a few verses. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Orphans and widows will be taken care of by whom? The church. 1 Timothy 5:3-4. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Well, that's a mouthful. What he's saying is before you take on the responsibility of caring for a widow, if she has children or she has nephews or she has somebody at home, they have the responsibility of taking care of them. But how often today are we wanting to take care of the elderly? You know, when I was younger, it was normal for families to take care of their parents when they got older. My grandfather's place, when I was a boy, had a room in the house that was my grandfather's office. But before it was his office, he built that extension on the house, built that room there for his father-in-law. And that's where his father-in-law stayed. And then on the back of his property, he built a little apartment. And that's where his folks stayed. Because there used to be a day when we understood we have a responsibility to take care of our own. And there was a day when children understood, as my parents get older, I have a responsibility to take care of my parents. Where have we gone wrong in this? We become so self-absorbed, we forget. And you know, I think it's really sad because, you know, your parents spent how much investing in you and taking care of you when you were growing up. Don't they deserve some help in their latter years? Yes, they do. Now, I understand sometimes a person's condition may require nursing home, but you know, my mom used to volunteer in nursing homes. And you know, the saddest thing that I saw as a boy is men and women sitting in their room crying because their kids haven't come and seen them in years. We live in a sad, selfish society. James also says this, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? I remember when I was a boy, we're in Warminster, Pennsylvania, in base housing, and the neighbor boy and us were out playing, and he didn't have a winter coat. And we were out in the snow, because it does that up north. It's this white stuff that lays in the ground. It gets really wet, and your kids have fun in it, okay? And it was one of those real wet, heavy snows, and those from the north know what I'm talking about. The kids get drenched. And my mom looks out the window, and I don't remember what rank his dad was, but they didn't have a lot of money. And she sees him out there without a coat on. And she thought about it. And I don't remember whether she asked him first, do you have a coat or what? But you know, there happened to be a coat in the house that didn't fit my brother and I, that fit this young man. My mom calls him over and gives him a coat. Why? Because to say, hey, what are you doing out there? I hope you're warm. I'll be praying for you. Wouldn't do him a whole lot of good, would it? But is that not what we do sometimes? Oh, I see you have this need. Well, I'll be praying for your need. I'm not belittling prayer. We do need to pray. But if I had the means to help provide the need, why am I sitting on my knees praying about it? If you ever watched the movie Sheffy, there's a scene when Sheffy runs into a family that their horse just died pulling their cart. And Sheffy says, well, I'll pray with you about this. And he sits down. And as soon as he sits down, he sees his own horse sitting there. And he goes, No, Lord, not that. And he stands up and he goes, grab your harness. And the guy goes, what are you talking about? He goes, no sense in praying about it when God's already provided. I have a horse. You need a horse. Take mine. And he walked. He grabbed the saddle and he walked to town. Because his family had a cart. The guy couldn't pull the cart. Needed a horse to pull the cart. He was on horseback. He can grab the saddle and carry it. When we have the needs to provide, are we providing? Are we allowing God to use us to be that conduit to meet the needs of somebody else? And let me tell you something. We don't give to get, but I have learned this, Christian. We cannot outgive God. When God lays it on my heart to give, I'll tell you what, God always finds a way to bless me back. And God will always take care of my need. Always. And he has never failed. You see, it's kind of neat when we do it God's way. Instead of people having to steal, if we all work and we look for the needs of others and help take care of the needs of others, everybody gets taken care of. What a concept, right? Because understand, if we're all working the way we're supposed to, those that have needs are going to be legitimate needs. It's not going to be the ones sitting around loafing and not doing anything because everybody should be working. And if they aren't working and they're able to, that's not a need. It's their fault. You were supposed to work, and you didn't. So you'll get hungry enough, you'll get up and join the workforce, right? That's what the Bible says. If they're able to. If they're not able to, that's a different story. So Paul has to remind these Christians, Christians, don't steal. You say, this is so simplistic. Then why do we still struggle with it today? Christians work, and Christians work hard. And Christians do their work as unto the Lord. And as they do, their employer is going to be satisfied with their work. And sometimes they might even get a raise. By the way, last night when Andrew called me to tell me about his coworker getting saved, he said that he's going to possibly be getting a promotion. Let me tell you why. It's not because Andrew sits in the van and does nothing all day. It's because he works as unto the Lord, and God's rewarding him for it. But as God continues to provide for him, I'll guarantee you he'll look for opportunities to help others. You say, well, I don't have a lot. God didn't ask for everything you have, did he? I mean, it all does belong to him, but we give what we can. Give what the Lord lays in your heart. Don't give to impress others. That was Ananias and Sapphira. They had a piece of land, and they get together and they say, hey, let's sell our land. And we'll give it to the church. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to hold back part of the money. But we're going to tell the church we're giving all because we really want to look good. And this is the wrong motive for giving, folks. And you know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? God killed them both. Listen, Peter even says, when it was yours, you could do whatever you want. The property was yours. You could keep it. You could sell it. You could do whatever you want. Even after you sold it, the money is yours. If they had said, you know what, we're going to hold back 50% of it, and we're going to give church half, nothing would ever happen, as long as they were honest about it. But when they give a certain percentage to the church saying we gave all, they were lying. And that's what God judged them for. My point being is, look, we don't give for show. And you know, we do have some givers. Some who really have the gift of giving, and by the way, that is one of the scriptural gifts. But people that I know that are true givers do not give for show. They don't go advertising, wanting everybody to say, hey, look at me, I'm a giver. They give because God has blessed them, and they want to be a blessing to others. So steal no more. Start working and share with those in need. By the way, I joked earlier about, not really joked about, it was say, as we were talking about stealing from the rich to give to the poor, and that's something our government is doing. We need to be careful when we go to the polling place for whom we vote and ensure that they have the same values we do and understand you can't take from the rich to give to the poor. It's still stealing. Doesn't matter whether I do it or the government does it, it's still stealing. But to hold people accountable and say, you want a paycheck? Go to work. Pretty simple, right? But then, Christian, it's our responsibility to understand we need to share with those in need. So as Paul continues to give specific examples of what to put off and what to put on and how to renew our mind, he gives the example of putting off stealing, work with your hands, and labor to give to others. Are we doing so? Now perhaps this morning I've been talking to Christians in this matter, and while the principle truly applies for everyone, perhaps you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Perhaps you're not a Christian. You say, I don't even know what you're talking about, preacher. The truth is, every one of us is a sinner that is separated from God, born separated from God. We sin, and our sin separates us from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, but Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and rose again the third day to save you and I, who were helpless, hopeless sinners who deserved to be separated from God. And the Bible tells us if we simply put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repent, turn from our sin, turn to God, that He will save us, that He will forgive us our sins, He will cleanse us, that He will give us eternal life. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, in just a moment we're going to have a time of invitation, and I'm going to ask that you would respond on that time and allow us to have somebody take a Bible, show you from the Word of God more of what I'm saying about how Jesus Christ can save you. And Christian, as we have this time of invitation, if God has convicted you this morning, maybe one of the areas we talked about, stealing, you didn't realize, you didn't view it as stealing, or laboring, but laboring as unto Christ, not as a men pleaser, and learning to share with others, perhaps God has convicted you in one of those areas as well. And again, I'll ask that you respond on this invitation as the Holy Spirit leads. So let's bow for a word of prayer.